Our scripture lesson this morning is taken from the 2 Samuel, the 24th chapter, verses 18 through 25. That same day, Gad came to David and said to him, "Go and set up an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Araunah the Jebusite." David did what Gad told him to do and went up as the Lord had commanded. When Araunah looked down and saw the king and his servants coming over towards him, he went out, prostrated himself low before the king, and said, "Why has your majesty come to visit his servant?" David answered, "To buy the threshing floor from you, to build an altar to the Lord, so that the plague which has attacked the people may be stopped." Araunah answered David, "I beg your majesty to take it and sacrifice what you think fit. I have here the oxen for a whole offering, and their harness and the threshing sledges for the fuel." Araunah gave it all to the king for his own use and said to him, "May the Lord your God accept you." But the king said to Araunah, "No, I will buy it from you. I will not offer to the Lord my God whole offerings that have cost me nothing." So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. He built an altar to the Lord there and offered whole offerings and shared offerings. Then the Lord yielded to his prayer for the land, and the plague in Israel stopped. May God add his blessings to this, the reading of his holy word. I call your attention this morning especially to verse 24 in the passage we read. "No, I will buy it from you," David said. "I will not offer to the Lord my God whole offerings that have cost me nothing." there might be said to be two gospels prevalent today. One could be called the gospel of no down payment. Over against that, and in contrast to it, is the gospel of creative stewardship. There are certain assumptions that the gospel of no down payment makes. The gospel of prosperity says, for one thing, that industry is supreme, but man is secondary. I'm sure you have read Morris Bishop's famous poem, The Perforated Spirit, but if you haven't, I'll refresh your memory. It goes, the fellas up in personnel, they have a set of cards on me. The sprinkled perforations tell my individuality. And what am I? I am a chart upon the cards of IBM. The secret places of the heart have little secrecy for them. It matters not how much I pray, they punch with punishment the scroll. The files are masters of my fate, they are the captains of my soul. Monday my brain began to buzz, I was in agony all night. I found out what the trouble was, they had my paper clip on, too tight. The gospel of prosperity, the gospel of no down payment, says industry is supreme and man is secondary. The gospel of no down payment, the gospel of prosperity, says also the machine is supreme and man is secondary. One of the famous perceivers of the American scene, Douglas Woodruff, wrote in an article entitled America on Wheels the following. It will not surprise me much, he said, if the private home is abolished in America to give place to the residential car so that the American soul may find a final happiness there and men may be born in cars and live in cars and wed in cars and die in cars and be cremated in the engine without ever having to put a foot on ground. And so will arise a new race to take the place of the centaur of old, or as the centaurs were half men and half horse, so these new modern men will be half men and half motor car. Well, the gospel of no down payment says that the machine is supreme. The gospel of no down payment also says that profit is basic and human needs are secondary. Some years ago, in addressing the Harvard School of Business, John J. Chapman said that it seemed to him as he looked out at the United States that the United States is a sort of general mill which turns everything into business. Love, art, leisure, science, innocent recreation, and even religious contemplation are ground up into business packages and marked as soon as men or nature produce them. And in the New Yorker, not too long ago, before the recent recession, there was a cartoon showing two infants in perambulators. One infant was leaning over the edge of his perambulator and talking to the other one, and the infant was saying, I see that American aluminum has gone up 2 points. The gospel of prosperity says profit is basic and human needs are secondary. The gospel of prosperity says sales are our salvation, but sacrifice is necessary. It seems that sometimes American business operates on the principle that people have a purse like that in the story of the enchanted penny in the Arabian Nights tales, the story of the magical purse from which the lucky possessor could take out a penny always to find nevertheless that another penny was still in the purse. The sociologist tells us that 100 years ago, the average American family had 72 wants. 16 of which were necessities. Whereas today, according to surveys, the same American head of the family has 484 wants, of which the family considers 94 to be necessities. About 700,000 items were sold on American counters and across the counters on Friday of this last week. Reminds us of the famous passage on the seven ages of man. If it were rewritten by Shakespeare today, I'm sure it would sound something like this: all the world's a marketplace, and all the men and women merely buyers. They have their purchases and deferred payments, and one man in his time supports many salesmen, his acts being seven ages. At first, the infant, a prospect for the dairy industry and infants' wear. And then the whining schoolboy with his satchel, creating a demand for plastic and leather goods and textbooks with frequent profitable changes. And then the lover needing a sport model coupe, helping the jewelry trade and those dispensing three-room suites of furniture on easy payment. And then the soldier stabilizing a healthy activity among munitions manufacturers and uniform makers. And then the justice, likeliest prospect of all, target for an army of builders, furnishers, and investment brokers. And so he plays his part. The sixth act shifts into the lean and slippered pantaloon, but still a field for the shoe and pantaloon industry. Last scene of all is second childishness, the ideal time to buy a red convertible, a hi-fi set with a fruitwood cabinet, both convertible and hi-fi set, a bargain at $5,000. The gospel of prosperity says more for goods and less for compassion. The gospel of prosperity, the gospel of no down payment, says gauge the church by its wealth and size, and not by its spontaneous spirituality. Someone has said recently that it may be that the American church is so prosperous that it might lose sight of its mission and its message. That the American church, this thinker has said, is kind of like the story in Sinbad the Sailor in the Arabian Nights. Sinbad, you remember, had a ship which was made out of wood and iron, nailed together with iron nails. When he sailed near to a magnetic mountain whose magnetism was so strong that all the nails were drawn out of the planks of the ship and fled to the side of the mountain, and the ship came apart plank by plank and sunk. I hope that that's not what our church is. But the gospel of no down payment does say, gauge the church by its wealth and size. A prominent churchman just a few years ago, instructing canvassers for funds for building an American cathedral, said, and I quote, "Go to the men who command great wealth, either in their own right or in the trust funds which they administer. Tell them that religion is the insurance of their prosperity, and ask them whether they think they are paying enough for their insurance, and wouldn't they like to give some to this fund," end quote. The gospel of no down payment says, win the world without paying the price. I picked up a Sunday paper of a large metropolitan area and found the following ads. Free demonstration, no obligation. Free estimate, $1 down and $1 a week. Didn't say, of course, for the rest of your life. Clear up those bills with a loan. We'll be glad to finance you. Fly and vacation now and pay later. How to get money quickly and easily. Lowest prices ever for our merchandise. They didn't say with the highest degree of planned obsolescence. Free parking and free breakfast. Soapsy Sudsy, $100,000 sweepstakes. Try our layaway plan. And this one, is your credit bad? Buy a car from us because you need neither money nor credit to drive one of our beauties. And finally, no down payment required. Now, the gospel of creative stewardship does not agree with the gospel of no down payment. David was convinced that he should not and could not give to the Lord an offering that had cost him nothing. So David gives us the paradigm, the example of creative stewardship. The gospel of creative stewardship says giving must be sacrificial. A gift is something that we earn, at least in some sense, before we give it. If we earn nothing, we have nothing to give. My wife's father was a real mountain man from the Ozarks in Arkansas. And his favorite story, he claimed it was true, I don't know. But his favorite story was this one. He said that one day in July, an Arkansas mountain man sat in front of his shack smoking his corn cob pipe. Along came a young stranger who was a salesman, as it turned out. Trying to make an opening and meet the man, the young salesman said, "How's your cotton coming?" And the mountain man said, "Ain't got none." "Well, why not?" He said, "Well, I didn't plant none. I was afraid of the boll weevil." Well, the salesman tried again. He said, "Well, how's your corn?" And the mountain man said, "Didn't plant none, afraid of the drought." Now, the salesman was getting discouraged, but he tried again. "Well, how are your potatoes, sir?" "Ain't got none, scared of the tater bugs." Well, the salesman had about given up. Finally asked the salesman, "What did you plant, sir?" And the mountain man answered out of the corner of his mouth, "Nothing. I just played it safe." You cannot just play it safe and be a creative steward. That's what David is trying to say. We must give that unto the Lord which cost us something. The earth is the Lord and the fullness thereof, the world and they that dwell therein. For he hath founded it upon the seas and established it upon the flood. The gospel of creative stewardship says giving must be sacrificial. Secondly, the gospel of creative stewardship says giving must be spontaneous and compassionate. Creative stewardship is, Hiley H. Ward has said, compassionate and spontaneous. Jesus said, "When you give alms, let not your left hand know what your right hand does." And as you well know, when you've studied your Greek, the Greek word for alms is related to the root word for mercy or compassion. The giving of alms is the deepest expression of mercy and compassion. And unless we give that which cost us something, we are not giving unto the Lord the kind of creative stewardship that he calls upon us to give. The gospel of creative stewardship says giving must be sacrificial. The gospel of creative stewardship says giving must be spontaneous and compassionate. The gospel of creative stewardship says God is supreme and man belongs to God as the crown of his creation. Jesus said that we are first of all to give ourselves. That's our offering to the Lord. Come, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. Paul wrote, "You are bought with a price. Therefore glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's." This giving unto God includes our body. "I beseech you," Paul wrote, "by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service." This creative stewardship also includes our minds. Let nothing be done through strife or vain glory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem the other better than themselves. Let this mind be in you which was in Christ Jesus, who being found in fashion as a man, humbled himself and became obedient unto death, even the death of the cross. And this creative stewardship also includes our souls. For God's word says that God breathed into man the breath of life, and he became a living soul. We cannot give unto God that which he wants from us just by playing it safe. And in opposition to the gospel of no down payment, the gospel of creative stewardship says that human needs are basic and that profit is secondary, that we are to give of our bodies, our minds, and our spirits unto God. But we are also to give of our abilities. Fritz Kreisler, won fame for his artistry on the violin, has said in his memoirs, and I quote, "I was born with music in my system. I knew musical scores instinctively before I knew my ABCs. My musical ability was a gift of God's providence. I did not acquire it, so I do not even deserve thanks for it. I never look upon the money I earn with my music as my own. It is public money and God's money. It is only a fund entrusted to me to care for with proper disbursement in the work and worship of the Lord," end quote. The gospel of creative stewardship says that we must give spontaneously of our abilities, of our bodies, souls, and minds unto God, that we must make a down payment. We do not gain in God's work for his glory unless we do make that down payment. The gospel of creative stewardship, in opposition to the gospel of no down payment, says, win the world by paying the price. The best summary example of what I am trying to say this morning was said by Jesus himself in the 25th chapter of Matthew, verses 31 and following, and with these words I close. Jesus is talking about the gospel of creative stewardship. And he says, when the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the angels with them, he will sit in state on his throne with all the nations gathered before him. He will separate men into two groups as the shepherd separates the sheep from the goats, and he will place the sheep on his right hand and the goats on his left. Then the king will say to those on his right hand, you have my father's blessing. Come, enter and possess the kingdom that has been ready for you since the world was made. For when I was hungry, you gave me food. When thirsty, you gave me drink. When I was a stranger, you took me into your home. When I was naked, you clothed me. When I was ill, you came to my help. When in prison, you visited me. Then the righteous will reply, Lord, when was it that we saw you hungry and fed you, or thirsty and gave you drink, a stranger and took you home, or naked and clothed you? When did we see you ill or in prison and come to visit you? And the king will answer, I tell you this, anything you did for one of my brothers here, however humble, you have done it unto me. That's the gospel of creative stewardship. And that's what David was talking about when he said, no, I will not give unto my Lord that which has cost me nothing. May we pray. Our Heavenly Father, help us to know that without giving of our time, our abilities, our minds, our very personalities unto thee in sacrificial giving, that we cannot be the kind of creative stewards that thou wilt have us to be. We know, dear Father, that the gospel of no down payment is a temptation that we all face in an industrialized world every day. But we pray that we might be the kind of creative stewards that David was, and the kind that Jesus has said that his followers would be. For we ask it in Christ's name and for his sake.